Good morning, everybody. Glad to have you here today on this beautiful Sunday morning. I am Becky Holcomb, your worship leader today, and we welcome all of you to Park Place Christian Church, and especially our visitors and guests. Glad to have you as well. And we'd like to keep a record of everybody who is joining us today, so the notepads on the inside of the pew, take a moment to sign your name, whether you're a member or a visitor or a guest. And if you're online, we'd like for you to put a little good morning or wave so we can keep track of that too. Out in the narthex on the table is a card for Gary and Bonnie Morris, so please get a chance to sign that. And on the back of the bulletin, you will find the upcoming events announcements. And at this time, I'll read, pizza and movie night, Saturday, April 27th at 5:30. Sign up across from the church office. Men's Fifth Monday, I think there's a sign-up sheet over there as well. Evangelism and membership ministry meeting, Wednesday, May 1st at 5:30. Boy, it's already getting into May. Disciple Women's General Meeting, Thursday, May 2nd, 1 p.m. And our next soup kitchen is Saturday, May 4th. May 5th is going to be graduation Sunday. Anyone who is graduating in your family that you know of, or just somebody that you're close with, let the office know by Tuesday, April 30th, so we can get that information. Are there any other announcements? Okay, let us prepare ourselves for worship. Please stand for the call to worship, if you're able. As we seek to live for Jesus, we pray. In this moment, help us empty our minds of the relentless I and make space for you. Enable us to put down our priorities, open our hearts to recognize your love in action and in our lives. Reassure us of your divine vision and let us rest in your unending care. Amen. Join together our opening song, Living for Jesus, all verses. Please join me in prayer. Sustaining and encouraging God, thank you for being always by our side. Encourage us to turn to you every day and to seek your guidance for our lives. Slow us when we try to rush ahead. Prompt us when we delay and hesitate. Steady us when we stumble. Although we cannot always understand this world, remind us that you delight in each one of us and will strengthen and support us to grow in faith and service. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is a good day to be together as brothers and sisters in Christ in God's house. We're here to worship God, and right now we're here to lift our voices up to God in prayer. As we do, are there concerns that we want to share, or are there joys that we'd like to celebrate? Let's see one.
This is Lou Pearson. We're glad to have our daughter, Lou Ann, from Lee's Summit, Missouri, here with us this morning.
Good to have you, Lee Ann. Or Lou Ann, excuse me. I guess I should have known Lou and Lou Ann. That would make sense.
This is Margie while we're waiting. We do have one comment online. Evelyn McIver wants to thank everyone for the card. She really enjoyed reading each signature.
Good. That's a blessing we were able to bless her.
Susan. This is Susan Hill, and we had our first of two Spirit Fests yesterday in Salina and had about 58 women join us for the day. We had a great keynote speaker, good workshops and fellowship and worship. We also packed around, I think, 200 or 250 hygiene packs for church world service.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wow.
Hi, this is Mary Lumen, and I'd just like to pray for everybody who's battling cancer or any other disease and their families.
Any others? Right. Well, if not, let's bow our heads and prepare for a prayer, hearing these words from Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Almighty God, as we gather this morning with our brothers and our sisters in Christ, we rejoice in the reality that you have clothed us in compassion, in kindness, in humility, in gentleness, and in patience. Lord, we thank you for these wonderful gifts, and we praise you for covering us in your love and grace. Lord, as we rejoice in these amazing gifts, we also confess to you that we have not lived up to all that you have provided for us. Too often, O God, we have allowed compassion and kindness to give way to harshness and to unforgiving attitudes. Instead of being patient and gentle with others, we have chosen to be harsh and rigid. So, Lord, we confess these sins to you, and we ask you to forgive us, and then we ask you to teach us how to be truly kind and compassionate. Teach us, O God, to love others as you love us. Lord, we lift up our loved ones today who are sick or who are facing times of trouble. And we ask you, Lord, to heal their wounds, and we ask you to encourage their hearts. Lord, if you see fit, we ask you to work through us to bring hope to each of the people who are on our prayer list and who need our support. Today, Lord, we especially lift up anyone who's facing a battle with cancer. Give them encouragement and give them strength. And again, if you will, Lord, work through us to bring them hope. We ask you too, Lord, to bless this world. Remove ambition and anger and vengeance from the hearts of all people, especially the leaders of our world, so that peace and compassion will prevail. We ask you to guide the leaders of this nation too, O God, as we continue into another election year. We ask you to place our politicians on pathways of peace rather than pathways of tearing each other down for personal gain. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon this church. We thank you, Lord, for Evelyn MacGyver, and I thank you for every person who thought to reach out to her, to let her know that she is loved and that she is an important part of this church family. Lord, we're grateful and thankful that Luann is able to be here with us today, and we pray that she and her whole family will have a wonderful visit. Lord, we're grateful that the Spirit Fest went so well. We're grateful and thankful that so many women chose to join together. And we pray, God, that you would bless their efforts so that your good work and your goodwill can be done through them. Lord, as the members of Park Place look toward the future, I ask you to fill them with confidence that comes from knowing that you are right here with them and that the future you have written for them is wonderful and joyful. We ask you, Lord, to fill our hearts now with compassion for others as we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Scripture reading today is Acts 16:6-10. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, Come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Hear this word for the people of God.
All right. If you notice, Becky, whenever it's your turn to read, I always put scriptures in there with a lot of words and names that are... That's unintentional, I promise. Well, you know, these last 2 weeks, we've been talking a lot about faith. You remember we've talked about the fact that Jesus taught us that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, that we can move mountains. Now, that means that if we trust God just this much, that we can do amazing things. Incredible things can happen in our lives and in the lives of people around us. And we don't have to trust God this much. We don't have to trust God this much. Not even this much. Just this much is all it takes for amazing things to happen in our world around us. Just a little bit of faith makes a tremendous difference. Well, you know, as I've been thinking about that, this week an old saying came to my mind. And the saying is this. When God closes a door, God opens a window. You know, I like that expression because it reminds me that no matter what, God will always be there for us and be there with us. You know, even when things don't go the way that I want them to go, I can still trust God. Just because I didn't get my way doesn't mean that God has backed out or God has gone someplace else. And yet, as I say that, I also recognize that a problem arises for many of us. And the problem is sometimes we ask the question, why doesn't God give us everything we want and everything that we ask for? You know, if God really loves us and we ask for something, why do we sometimes not get it? Now, that's an important part of faith. And that's part of why faith sometimes can be very, very tricky for us. You know, we trust, we believe, we ask. We're taught that if we do those things, that God's going to give us our way. But sometimes what we want to have happen just doesn't happen. Well, you know, that's where that old saying in my mind comes in handy. You know, sometimes God closes doors and we don't get what we want. But when that happens, we have to remember that God is never going to let us down. You know, there are still other times when life itself closes doors on us. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't believe that every single thing that happens in this world is a direct result of God saying, now it's time to happen. You know, for example, when I watch the news at 10 o'clock at night, when I can bring myself to watch the news at 10 o'clock at night, I see who got shot in Wichita that day. I see who had a car wreck in Wichita that day. I don't believe that God appointed, so, okay, now it's time for this person to get shot. It's time for that person to have a car wreck. You know, sometimes life itself in this imperfect world that we live in brings problems our way. But even then, if you think about it, even when those bad things happen that are out of our control and out of everybody else's control, God is still there. And that means that we can look forward to God opening a new window, even as we face times of trial and times of hardship. You know, a window, the window that God opens, is ultimately going to be a beautiful window. It's going to bring blessings, it's going to bring joy, and it's going to bring peace. You know, I used to think about that a lot when I was a hospital chaplain down in Memphis. Many of the patients that I worked with were recovering from strokes. Now, a lot of these people were good people, caring people, Christian people, church-going people. And when I met them many times after that stroke, they would be confused. They would be puzzled. They would wonder, why did God allow this to happen to me? But, you know, I also saw many of those people as they recovered from the stroke and as they moved forward, I saw many of them come to the realization that God was still right there with them. The stroke was not a result of anything they'd done wrong or anything God had done to them, but it was simply a part of living in the world that we live in. I remember one gentleman in particular who had been a music minister at a church for many, many years. Now, he'd suffered a massive stroke and was now not able, and probably never was able, to do his music ministry again. Now, for a time he struggled, a time he was challenged. But eventually he realized that God, even though this horrible thing had happened to him, that God was still with him. That new doors, new windows, new opportunities were arising for him. And he found peace in that. You know, Paul found out how true that saying really is. When God closes the door, God opens a window. Because according to the scripture passage that we heard read a few moments ago, Paul was trying to accomplish goals that he had set, and he just couldn't do it. You know, he tried to go to the province of Asia, modern-day Turkey, but the scriptures say that the Holy Spirit kept him from going there. Then he tried to go to Bithynia and Mysia and all these other places. But the scriptures say that the Spirit of Jesus would not allow it. And, you know, I put myself in Paul's place. I imagine how frustrated he must have felt. You know, Paul had experienced incredible things in his relationship with Christ. You know, first he had that amazing conversion experience on the road to Damascus. And then after his conversion, after he became a follower of Jesus, he was able to share the word of God with incredible success. Everywhere he went, people were receptive. Everywhere he went, people listened and they believed, and wonderful things happened. But now here Paul is trying to go to all these different places, and he just can't get there. Nothing seems to be working out. I can't help but imagine that Paul was wondering, why in the world is God stopping me from doing what I want to do and going where I want to go? I mean, it wasn't like people in those provinces didn't need to hear the word of God. I mean, the Galatians, for example, were a defeated, conquered people. They needed encouragement. The Pergians had been enslaved for the most part. They needed some reassurance that God was still there, that God still cared about them. And, you know, Paul could have responded to not being able to get to those places by just giving up. He could have said, you know, if God, if you're not going to help me, then forget it. I'm done with my ministry. I'm done trying to do the things that you're calling me to do. So the question is, why did God close those doors on Paul? Why was Paul unable to go to the places that he wanted to go to, that he was trying to go to? Well, as it turns out, God closed those doors so that God could open an incredible window for Paul. You know, God had something very, very specific in mind for Paul. Something that was greater than anything he could have ever imagined, anything he could have ever hoped for. God wanted Paul to experience friendship and fellowship. And so God wanted him to go to a specific place where he would encounter those wonderful things. Now, at the time, I doubt if Paul really understood all that. He probably was wondering why. If I were in his shoes, I know I would be wondering why. But ultimately, Paul did what all of us as faithful Christians really should do. He waited on the Lord. Instead of trying to force things, instead of giving up, he waited on the Lord. It's not easy to wait, is it? I mean, we all want what we want when we want it, and when we don't get it right away, that's kind of a challenge. But he waited. He trusted that God was going to open a great window for him at some point. And finally, that's what happened. Remember in the story, a man from the province of Macedonia came to Paul in a dream and said, come to Macedonia and preach the gospel for us. Come to Philippi, which was the leading city. So Paul and his companions set out the very next day for the district of Macedonia. And when they arrived, they went to Philippi, the leading city there. Now that weekend, they went outside the city gates to pray. And when they got outside those gates, they found something interesting. They encountered a group of women who were also praying. So they talked with them. They told them the good news about Jesus. And these women accepted what they shared. They received that gift. Now, one of the women in that group that day was a woman named Lydia. Now, Lydia, in my mind, is an incredible, or had to have been an incredible person. Remember that she grew up in a culture and in a world where women were very much second class. And yet Lydia was a merchant in that ancient world. She dealt in purple cloth, which was a very expensive, very dear item. Well, Lydia heard the message of Jesus. She believed it. And then she led her entire household into baptism in Christ. Well, then after that, she became a very close friend and supporter of Paul. For example, when he was in Philippi, she invited him to stay at her home. And that's not all Lydia did. Lydia started an amazing church in her home. You know, that Philippian church was one of the greatest churches in the New Testament. Had to have been filled with amazing people. It's kind of like Park Place Christian Church. Well, that church offered friendship to Paul. They supported his ministry with prayers. They supported his ministry with finances. They gave him everything that they could possibly give him to help make his ministry a success. And that church helped Paul when he was placed in a Roman prison. They actually sent church members to Rome to support him, to take care of him, to make sure he was clothed and fed and he was not being abused by the guards. You know, that was something that members of other churches in that world could not have done. And the reason that the Philippians were able to go to the jail when nobody else could have was because they were Roman citizens. Now, what happened in Macedonia was that the Roman army had conquered that land and they had taken over, but they were having a lot of troubles with the people there. So first they told the Roman soldiers, you have to stay in Macedonia, you can't come home, but we're going to give you some special privileges. And then they went to Rome to some of their second-class citizens, and they said, if you'll move to Macedonia and settle there, we will make you first-class citizens. You'll have all the rights and privileges of the highest level of Roman citizenship. Now, do you see what happened there? By being faithful, Paul helped the Philippians. He introduced them to Christ. And then the Philippians, in turn, helped Paul when he was in need. Now, Paul, if he had not waited on the Lord, the Philippians would never have learned about Jesus. And Paul would have missed out on their friendship and ultimately their loving care. Because they were the only Christians at that time that could go into Roman prisons because, again, they were Roman citizens. Yeah, Paul discovered that that old saying is very, very true. When God closes a door, God always opens a beautiful new window. Well, you know, Park Place is currently in a time change, as we all know. We're looking forward to the future, yet we're not exactly sure what the future is going to look like. And that's the reason why I wanted to share Paul's story with you today. Because this is a time for faithful waiting. This is a time to trust that God is going to guide this church, that God is going to lead this church. If we're faithful, if we wait on the Lord like Paul waited, ultimately God is going to bring incredible blessings to this congregation. Now, Paul waited on God, and when the window opened, he responded faithfully. And to me, this story calls us to do the exact same thing, to wait on God and then to respond faithfully and joyfully when God opens the window at the right moment and at the right time. You know, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says this, those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know, when God closes a door, God always opens a window. So today and every day, let us praise God for those closed doors. And then let us praise God even more for the open windows. Let us look forward to what God is going to do at this wonderful church. Okay, would you pray with me? Well, Lord, we thank you that when doors close, when life changes, that we never have to give up. We thank you, Lord, that you're always there, and that when you ultimately open a window, it's going to be a great window and a beautiful window. So help us, Lord, to keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds and all that we have focused on you. Lord, you blessed us so many times in the past. We are confident that you're going to continue to bless us. We simply need to be faithful. Because we know, Lord, when you close a door, you always open a window. And so we thank you as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God, as we've said, has opened incredible windows. He did for Paul. He does for us. And God is going to continue to do so on in through the end of time. And that is a part of why we now come to the communion table. Because it reminds us that God is always there. It reminds us that God's love never, ever fails. It reminds us that when we're not sure what's going on, not sure what direction we're headed, we need to head toward God. So I invite you to join me at our Lord's table. Now let's prepare our hearts by singing our communion hymn, My Shepherd, You Supply. Well, I invite you now to join me at our Lord's table. This is a table of hope. This is a table if you've had doors in your life that have closed that you're not happy about. This is a table to come realizing that God is going to open a greater window. This is a table where we are reminded that no matter what we face in life, we never face it alone. Because God is always with us. And God's love never, ever fails. So join me now at this table of love, at this table of hope. Would you pray for us?
Dear Lord, as we prepare to take these elements, guide us in our life. We may not understand our path. It seems so difficult and so hard sometimes. Sometimes it's really simple. Just think if we said, instead of saying we don't have time to do it, we don't have time not to do it. And then also as we listen to the message today, there again, sometimes life's hard, but give us the strength to not let the hard days win. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, as we gather now at our Lord's table, we remember. We recall that on the night that Christ was betrayed, that he took bread, and that after he had given thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We remember then the same way he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us now share together in our Lord's Supper.
God has called us, awaken us, to follow his teaching and listen to his words. Guide us just as you did for your people so many years ago when you guided them to spread the gospel. Lead us today by your Spirit as we bring our tithes and offerings this morning to be used to spread your word and for your glory. Listen, God is speaking. Guide us to let hope prevail where despair has taken hold, to let compassion grow in the place of judgment, to let peace flourish and heal the fractures of the world. As the deacons receive our tithes and offering this morning, let us share our blessings to be used for God's purpose in the world and inspire us to see his path for our service. Let us receive our morning offering.
Dear Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you have given us, the opportunities that you have given us, the opportunity for us to give back to you so that we can take these tithes and offerings and reach out beyond these walls and touch many lives and spread the word of your good word. And we just thank you again for all these opportunities and as we go on this week. Amen.
Well, as we've experienced today, God loves us. God's love never fails. God's love never comes to an end. Even when we're not always lovable, God loves us anyway. But if you're here this morning and you've not had the opportunity to experience that love through faith in Christ Jesus, then I would invite you to come forward so that you can publicly accept him as your Savior and Lord. I'm also, if you're worshiping with us and you're looking for a church family to be a part of, I would invite you forward so that we can officially welcome you into this Christian home. And then finally, today, if you're at a point in your life where more doors seem to be closing than windows opening, and you'd like prayer and encouragement, I invite you to come forward so that we can all pray with you. And let's sing now our invitation, which is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Well, as we conclude our time of worship, I encourage you to lean on those everlasting arms, to remember every moment that God is with you, that God loves you, and that God will open wonderful windows at just the right moment in your life. So may God bless you and keep you now and forevermore. Amen.